Good morning. Good morning. You know, and as the Holy Spirit is speaking already in the midst of, and not just in the midst, but he's speaking to each of us individually, you're hearing him, right? You're hearing something that's going on inside your spirit that you're identifying with. It's God speaking to me. It's God saying something. And some of us we're hearing something a little bit different. And so I want us to just be okay with and engage with what God the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of you. Just be receptive. Just be receptive. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
You with me? You with me?
Yeah.
Receptive. You know, I do have a page of notes, and I want to talk into this new year. It's New Year's Eve, by the way. That means tomorrow is the first day of the new year, 2018. As you listen to the Holy Spirit, I also will. So I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to talk to you a little bit. This is a good day. Today's a good day. It's a good day to be in the Lord. It's a good day to be here. I'm going to ask you, I got a couple of bottles of water here. Let me ask you, which one of these is full?
The one in your right hand.
That would be this one, right? Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
I asked you a question. Which one of these bottles of water is full? This one? How do you know it's full? Because you can see it's not tampered with, right? It hasn't been opened yet, so that would mean it's full. What if I tell you you're 100% absolutely wrong? How do you know it's full? Oh. That's how you know it's full, right? The only way to know that this bottle is full is to see. It's full now, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't full a second ago. How do you know it's full?
Overflowing.
Because it's overflowing. There's some evidence. There's something coming out of it. It's full when you see evidence, when something is coming out of it. Full does not mean that it's just full to where it's contained within itself and it's about itself. Do you hear me? Listen to that. I want you to hear that, and let that be a little bit of the topic. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's all right. It was a trick question. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. If somebody slips and falls, we'll pray for them. I got some oil here. Yeah, oil. Let's worship in the new year. I want to talk to you. You know what? I'll just ask you some more questions. Are you hungry for more of God?
Yes.
Okay. Now let me ask you another question. And this isn't a trick question, but this requires a little bit of yes. Yeah. Oh, I've been ready since like 6 this morning, so. Yeah. Amen. Dreams that are in the same realm of what Robin shared this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's speaking. Did you realize something? I don't know if you guys realize this or not. God speaks to us many times in the night while we're asleep. A lot of times because we can't and we don't have the human ability, capacity to retain and even process the things that he would show us. So sometimes he has to show us stuff in the night because in our waking state, we may process it differently. We may not hear it as God wants us to hear it. I know that sounds trippy, but it's very real. That's actually biblical even. That's biblical, that's scriptural. That he's in Job somewhere, he talks about, Job speaks of that, where he speaks to us in the night because in my waking state, I would become a little too arrogant and mindful of the things that he might show me. So instead, he has to reveal his truths to us sometimes at night. And he talks about in Joel, he says, I'll give you dreams and visions. Your young men will see dreams, your old men will dream anyway, dreams and visions, and sometimes it's in the night because in our waking state, as you're awake, isn't there just so much going on that we can't process it? We filter it differently. We start thinking about it. There's places I believe God will show us stuff. Absolutely, He reveals to us truths by His Spirit in our wake state, if you will. But there's also, He speaks to us in our dream state, our sleeping state. He does that quite often. I want us to talk about what we're coming into this new year and ask you if you're hungry, if you're hungry for more of God. But how about this? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for? Are you thirsty as a deer pants for water? You know what that means? Because he talks about it in the psalm. He says, "As the deer panteth for the water." We sing the song, right? And it's a really just this mild, just lovingly, like, oh, it's a beautiful song. You guys remember singing that song in the 90s, right? Where's Mike at? Hey, brother, do you remember who wrote that? And I won't try to sing it because it wouldn't be pleasant to your ears. But did you just say 10th Avenue North? No, it's a little before them. That's okay. Is this even that thought? As a deer panteth for the water, you know. As David's writing that psalm, he's writing that psalm in light of being. I don't know if you know where he was at in his life at the time, so listen to me, follow with me with this, and this, gosh, it's not even in my notes, so that's all right, whatever. Who cares at this point, right? He's writing that psalm in light of being chased out of town by his own son, basically going through one of the most horrific trials of his entire life. You know, David, this is King David I'm referring to. David, as he's been anointed and appointed king at this point, and now his son Absalom is trying to take over his reign and rule as king, and so he's chasing his own dad, his own father, out of town to become king because he wants the throne. And David allows and he permits these things to start happening, and as these things are happening, he leaves and he says, "My soul is thirsty for you as the deer pants for the water. I long for you. I long for your presence, O God." And that understanding is, you know, we have this picture sometimes as just being thirsty. Being thirsty is something that when we're longing for drink, when we're longing for something that we need, and we don't really get it a whole lot in our culture today. Why? It's because we have convenience stores around every corner. We could stop. We could get water everywhere we go here in America. Do you know what it's like to be really thirsty? I mean, physically thirsty, to where your body is actually craving fluid because it needs thirst. It needs water. It needs something to crave that. Does anybody ever experience that? Some of us here have, yeah. But to understand what he's referring to as the deer panteth for the water, and this is a question I'm going to ask you, are you thirsty as the deer panteth for the water? It's because as a deer pants for water, in the midst of being... See, here's as a deer actually is being chased by an enemy, an adversary, or a predator, okay? You guys with me? As a deer is being chased by a predator, what it does is it uses up all of its water source within the first few minutes because it can extend, it can tap into an energy within itself to survive. To stay alive, to where it can run faster than its enemy. It can outrun its enemy, but only for a short while. And it uses up all of its energy and uses up all of its fluids to where it basically becomes dehydrated really, really fast, a deer. And so as this deer is being chased, surviving for its very life, it's using up all of its water inside of it, all of its energy that it's needed to just survive. So as the picture that David's painting here, as a deer panteth for the water, I've been chased, I'm under attack. And therefore, now I need sustenance. I need something within me that I know is my life source because I'm about to be done in. Hello? That's the question I'm asking. Are you thirsty as a deer panteth for the water? That's a little bit different than just saying, oh, I would sure like a drink of water because it's really refreshing. Ooh, that's full. Not really. Amen. Yesterday I was driving in the Roseville area, and as I was driving, I'm contemplating this thought. I'm serious. This actually happened, okay? I'm not making this up one single bit, but you'd almost think it is I'm making it up because it was like, this is really weird. I got to tell you what happened. I'm driving down the road in my truck, and there was a woman sitting on the curb, and she had a sign, and the sign had one word on it, just one word. You know what it was? Hungry. That's it. Hungry. And I'm looking at like, well, that was very simple. And then instantly I'm reminded of everything that it says all over my truck. Feeding the hungry. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and this woman's just sitting there, just really just destitute. She looks sad. She looks sorrowful. Just sitting. She wasn't even standing, just sitting. I don't even know how I saw her, because she was kind of like in between bushes and stuff and just hungry. And I'm serious. This is exactly what happened. Like I said, you cannot make this up. And I drive just like, and I'm like, oh, man. And I'm like in the left lane, and she's way over here. And I'm like, well, okay, bummer. You know, and then literally within not even a half a block in the same parking lot is a food truck. Is a food truck. And I'm thinking, well, hello, she's hungry, there's a food truck. I'm sure she doesn't, and it's like, well, okay. And I keep driving. I had this conversation with me in my head. You guys, and as I'm having this, I'm like, okay. Oh, man, okay. And the Holy Spirit would not leave me alone, of course, if it ever happened to you. The Holy Spirit would not leave me alone. I was like, man, okay. But this time I'm about three blocks away, and I keep going, and it's like, he wouldn't leave me alone. All right. How do I turn around? I said, turn around. I go all the way back and try it. It's like, okay, there's the food truck. And I was like, well, wait, I got to go find her first. I'm like, okay, I got to see what's going on here. And she was gone. It's like, doggone it. She was gone. I was going to buy her, and the food truck was a tri-tip steak sandwich food truck. I was like, oh, that sounded pretty good. Maybe I'll get two. At that point, I was a little frustrated that I couldn't help her. But I thought for a second there, it's like, you know, and this is what the Lord said to me. He said, you know, what she was expressing was actually healthy. Because she was in need, and she understood that she had a need, and she was asking for help. And so how many of you are there, you know, as a parent, you know, one of the signs that your kid, maybe that your child that can't speak very well yet, that can't tell you what's wrong with them, isn't that like one of the hardest things as parenting is when you have a baby or child, an infant, somebody that they're growing up, and they can't tell you what's wrong with them. How do you know something is wrong with your child in that stage when they can't speak the words? They cry. But how do you know something is really, really wrong? They lose their appetite. Okay, I'm going to tell you that. Is that if it's not off to be hungry and thirsty for God. That's actually my hunger, my passion that I share with you guys about my love for Jesus is right. I'm telling you, it's correct. And I may stand up here, and you guys are like, wow, and I'm weird to you all, and that's good. I want you to know that this is a good weird. It's good weird to be passionate for the love of God and for Jesus, the Savior who takes away the sin of my sin and the sin of the world and is reaching into dark places and snatching people out of the pits of hell. That's passion. That gives me a passion and a love that I cannot contain. I can't restrain it. I must share it. I must like somehow live it every single day. Hello? That's normal. I'm going to tell you that's normal. You know what's abnormal? Is not having any hunger or thirst for anything that God is doing and is about doing in this world and in people's lives. That's abnormal. If you have a child that isn't hungry and thirsty, something's wrong. Hello? And I don't say that as a condemnation and as anything, but if there's nothing... That was super weird. Yeah. If there's no hunger and thirst, there's something off, right? Right? If we have a child, we'll take them to the doctor. We'll take them to the hospital because we're feared for their life. And yet we could go through casually and just being like, well, yeah, everything's okay, hunky-dory with me. If it's hunky-dory with you, I'm concerned for you. Go to the doctor. Check, get some internal organs checked out. Maybe they're not working right. I'll spiritualize that if you want. I want to read a passage of scripture, and man, this is good. I was going to talk to you about worship and what that entails, what that looks like. What is worship, and what is worship, and what does it do? Oh man, that's a big question. Let's go to a passage of scripture, John chapter 4. Let's just go there. John chapter 4, starting verse 7. The craziest little. I got to tell you, when you read this passage and this is the conversation that Jesus is having with the woman at the well. You could read the Bible and you could read passages of Scripture so many different times, and sometimes you could read something that seems so familiar and you could look at it and say, "Yeah, I've read this," and you can miss, I think, so much of what is actually happening and being said. So I'm gonna dig into it in a way that I think is gonna enlighten and give us some insight into some what. Here's Jesus. You know, Jesus is not Jesus God in the flesh. So you would easily say, and you can say, and we should say that Jesus is the representative of God the Father, correct? Can I say that word right? Does Jesus represent God the Father? So as he shares this, what if we were to take that word and restate it a little bit differently? And maybe state it as it actually is. Doesn't Jesus represent God the Father to us? He represents God the Father to us. And we are to be that representer to others that need Jesus. Amen? John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. I'm going to just go get right into it. You guys with me still? Yeah, praise the Lord. This is good. He says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, I just fast forward, we're already there. We're there. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Isn't it just a little bit comical that here is a Samaritan woman that's teaching Jesus, you know, the cultural ethics of the day? I just think it's got to be, the irony is just way too funny. You got to just flow with this and just almost laugh at it and how Jesus gets into these conversations. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And then the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." I'm getting thirsty just talking about it. The train's going by. "Give me this water." "That I may not thirst nor have to come here to draw." Boy, she kept going back to this natural realm, the physical, and Jesus kept constantly was trying to bring her into an enlightened mode of understanding what was really happening. This is so awesome. And Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have said well. You have said well in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you are with right now is not your husband. So you've spoken truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman," and that isn't a derogatory statement. I need to understand that. No, you need to understand that. In today's day, that would be, you know, I would have something either thrown at me or I'd be sleeping on the couch for at least a month if I said that to my wife. But that's not the case here. Not the case here. It's actually the same word that he used, that he referred to even his very own mother with. It's actually completely reverse of that which we would think in our day. Because what he was actually saying is, "Woman, I respect you as a woman. I hear you and I revere you as a woman, as I do my own mother." He was actually lifting her up where she was placing herself at a lower place. She said, "You shouldn't even be talking to me because I'm way down here and you're up there." And he was bringing her up to the place where he could speak to her face to face. You guys hear that? Jesus does that all the time with us. Wherever we try to bring ourselves place, you know, because of our own perceptive of the things that have been just heaped and piled on us by our parents, our peers, our friends, even our own self. And there is a real life devil that is out to steal, kill, and destroy. So you know that wherever there's loss, wherever there's death, and wherever there's destruction, which is everywhere, the devil's got his hand in it. Does the devil got your hand in anything in your head? Well, okay, I guess just me. Nobody else, huh? You know, and we're faced with this, and Jesus is so lovingly saying, "Come up here. Come up here and listen to me." In that one word, he said that, "Woman." That one word, he's done that. Oh. How do you not love the Word of God? It's so rich and true and life. And he says this, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." He said, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and to those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." I don't know how far I'll get, but I want to just, because I know we're going to do something really fun this morning. We're going to take communion, but I just need us to hear this, and I want us to understand what's happening here. You know, I firmly believe that Jesus at this point is laying the framework of the new covenant. He's laying the framework. He's setting the forms for the foundation of the new covenant to be in place into the world as we see it and as we are now. That statement, he says, an hour is coming and now is. Isn't that a weird statement? Who says that? What does that even mean? You guys even have any clues what that even means? An hour is coming and now is. What is he saying? Like tomorrow is today? I mean, what is he saying there? He's infusing this very reality that he is the I am. He is the I am. What you're seeing, it's like he's saying, here is God's time frame. Time lately is beyond time. In fact, you know, the phrase outside of time, I don't think is, because then it's like, well, that's, I don't get that. But beyond time, to me, makes a little more sense, because it's like, we're subject to this thing called a linear timeline. You know, we have a start and we have a finish. Hello? God is not subject to that. He's subject to beyond that, which we can't comprehend, because, and he's saying, here's what I'm doing. I'm infusing my timeline into yours, and I'm going to put into effect a work, something that is greater than anything you've ever seen, been a part of, or done. And I'm laying the groundwork. How do we process the phrase, before the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain? How do you process that with this brain that's finite and subject to a linear time frame? You can't, can you? You could try. It'll hurt your head a lot. Give it a shot if you want a headache. Just trust that God, what God is doing, he's infusing this thing called the new covenant. Do you know what? And I'm going to skip all my notes and go straight to this. Do you know what the new covenant is? Oh, this is so neat. I'm going to tell you guys. Do you know what the new covenant is? It is the great exchange. Listen to me. The great exchange. A couple of you have just gotten a new vehicle this last week or two, right? Right? It's nice to get in a new vehicle. And here's what you did. You know, I know Stephen and Riley, they took their old, I mean, he even had to have it towed to the dealer because he couldn't drive it. Is he even in here? Oh, good. I could talk all about it. It's fun. He tried to work on it all himself, you know, because he's trying to save a buck or two, and he ended up breaking a bolt off in the block. Why are you laughing at? Yeah, because you tried for like 14 hours trying to get it out. Bless his heart. And so I call my buddy at the dealer and say, hey, I got this. Yeah. Oh, I love that kid. Oh, yeah, I have him bringing in. I'll fix him up. So he was able to take this heap of metal. At that point, that's all it was. It's a heap of metal. Robert's left the room. He's getting excited there for a second. Yeah. Anyway, a heap of metal, and go and trade it in and exchange it for a beautiful, running, usable vehicle, a pickup truck that he can put his wife in and their new baby that's coming along and feel safe in. That's a good exchange, right? Amen. This exchange that I'm talking about here is better than anything you could ever even imagine. There is nothing ever been given to mankind that measures and matches the great exchange. The great exchange is this. Jesus said it this way. You want me to see? I'll see, here's some words that Jesus said. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. What kind of exchange is that? What is my part of the deal? Is it a broken down vehicle that I have to have towed there? It's not even close to that. My part of the deal is being broken. My part of the deal is being heavy laden. And he says, just come to me and I'll give you rest. I mean, what kind of deal is that? It's the best deal that's ever been offered to mankind. And I will give you rest. You give me your crap and I'll give you life and peace and joy and rest. What? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is what he has for us in the great exchange. Just come to me, and whatever it is you have, if you try to clean it up before you come to me, you're just going to make a bigger mess of it. Because then you're going to come with even more baggage. It'll be all religious like. Hello? Yeah, you tried that before, haven't you? That worked out really well, huh? Like, yeah, oh yeah, here, I got a heavy load, and let's throw a heavier load on you. Then you're like, right? Hello? Yeah. Here's another one. I gotta do this, because I can't not, okay? I can't not do this, because it gets even better. The exchanges are even better. Let me read this one. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Healing for brokenness is a part of the exchange. Hello? Listen, it's so good. You can't get better. Liberty to the captives. So freedom for those who are bound up and enslaved by sin. Freedom. That's a part of the exchange. Are you guys with me? Anybody getting excited about this? It gets better. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. Oh my gosh, whatever I'm going through, the sadness of my heart, the desperation, the depression. Anybody here ever struggle with depression? Oppression? Anything that's got an ushin in it? It sucks, doesn't it? And here's what he says is, you just give that to me. Give that to me. And I will comfort you. And I will lift you. And I will give you rest. And I will give you peace. It doesn't stop there. It gets better. I'm serious. It's getting better and better as we go along. The oil of joy for mourning. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's part of the exchange. A garment of praise. That means it's something we put on. I put on something that it gives, lifts me up instead of weighs me down. Is anybody identifying and maybe in need of this? So when I'm asking you if you're hungry, that's a good place to be, because I'm in need. Hello? Hello? Come on, brother, sister, come on. Oh. Yeah, I know. It's like it's so awesome that they're okay. But listen, I'm gonna whoever took all the time this morning, I don't even know who took up all the time this morning. Wouldn't we get started at like 10:45 or something? I don't know. It doesn't matter. We're good. You guys good?
Yeah.
Yeah. New Year's not till like a while away, because we're still doing this. Because I got a couple more things to do, and then we're going to have communion. So listen to this. The Lord's doing it. But here's what it is he's giving us this, yet, and he says, and here's the result of this, all this exchange that's taking place. It's a part of the great exchange that is really the new covenant. And he says this. Says that they may be called trees of righteousness. the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. A tree of righteousness is a solid, the picture that I get is a solid oak tree that is immovable. Immovable. That he may be called, that we may be called a tree of righteousness, that God may be glorified. So an immovable force that God is doing in you, that's part of the exchange. Now he's saying, instead of this place of where you're just like downtrodden and cast down and heavy laden and wore out and tired and you feel useless and helpless and hopeless, he's saying, I'm going to make you a solid, stable force that cannot be moved or shaken. Whoa, that's part of the exchange. That's part of the great exchange, is building you into a tree of righteousness. Hello? And this is where we start disconnecting. Don't disconnect yet. Don't disconnect, because we're right there on the cusp of this. Is we still keep identifying with that downtrodden, I'm broken, I'm useless, I'm just screwed up, I can't seem to get anything right in my life. And when we allow that, because remember, who is it that steals, kills, and destroys? It's not God, the Holy Spirit, it's the devil, that he's out to do it. And he wants to steal that from you and destroy that in you, which God is doing inside of each and every one of us right here, this year, this now, this today. But I'm going to tell you this next step, it doesn't stop there. It gets better. It doesn't stop there. And Devin and I were talking about this yesterday, and he said, he said it in a way that I thought, I'd never thought of it like this. It's like, so we were talking about worship and how this is. I haven't even talked about worship. Yeah, we are, because I think worship to me is that connection between God and man and God. And it's when we actually come to a place of worship, we're actually saying, God, do in me. I'm giving you all of me. Now do in me what you want to do through me. And so it really is part of the exchange. That's where the exchange takes place, is actually in true worship, in spirit and truth. That's where the exchange takes place. It actually takes place. Hello? And that's why he's saying, this is when we come to that place of true worship and we actually exchange that. God is so good and graceful and loving and kind, because that's who he is. He doesn't alter who he is. He gives us himself for this crap. Hello? If you think that you're not crap, that was probably sounded really bad, but that's okay. I don't care. Ask God to give you a hunger. If you don't feel hungry for God, then ask God to make you hungry for him. If there's not a hunger for the Lord in your soul and in the depths of who you are, to where you just want more of God, and you feel like I can't get enough of him, ask God to do that. Because I'm going to tell you, as a parent would look to his infant and say, there's something wrong because they don't have an appetite, that's what's happening, is you feel like you're just okay. And that's not a very good place to be. In other words, we need to be in a place of needing God. Read through the Beatitudes if you want to. Read the whole Bible. It's pretty good. It is. But the Beatitudes talk about that. That's all of it, is this paradox of, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall be filled. You know, it's all this paradoxical stuff that Jesus like blows our mind with right off the bat. It's like, he's telling us, is if what you need, I will give you. It's part of the exchange, part of the great exchange. Again, back to what Devin said to me, and he said, it's like, wouldn't it be a weird, sick thing to think that we were only saved unto ourselves, for ourselves, about ourselves. Isn't it awesome that God has placed us in the midst of, and I think this has to do with the dreams, and it has to do with what God is doing in the midst of our culture and what he's doing in his bride. Isn't it awesome that he's placed us with a passion and a love for each other, that we love this thing called fellowship, the church, the body of Christ. Not only do we love it, but we need it. We need to be connected to each other. Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Yep.
And that's a good thing to need, to be a part and to be connected. We need each other. We are not saved unto ourselves. So here's the thing. We're not saved just to be an oak of righteousness to say, look at me, I'm a big tree standing here all by myself. Hello? What does he say we are called to do? Do this. Let's read it. He says this. He says this. And that they, this is, I don't know what verse I'm at in Isaiah 61, but I'm reading it. And that they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. That's what God's called us to be and do as the body of Christ. And as we worship him, and it's, you know, you when we pass the offering plate, that was an act of worship. When you sing songs, that's an act of worship. When you obey the Lord, that's an act of worship. When I love my wife as Christ loved the church, that's an act of worship. Hello? When I sacrifice and surrender and I go the extra mile. Because you know the 1 mile? To go 1 mile is what you're expected to do. Right? Ooh, did I just say that? If you go 1 mile, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're expected to do. But it's that extra mile. That's an act of worship. Oh my goodness. Ask God to give you an opportunity to go an extra mile this week. I dare you. Double dare you. Double dog dare you. Oh, I just pulled it out, didn't I? Let's get some you guys off ushers. Because here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to just and we're going to take an offering.
Communion.
Thank you. Because here's as we go into this new year, this is an act of worship, and I need us to understand this. And I hope that we receive this way more so than ever before. Logistics, figuring out the details. That's an act of worship too. Hello? Figuring out the details of church function is an act of worship too. May not like that, but it is. And I'm going to get, we'll talk about this next week too, because it's going to be fun. Like, but listen to this. Listen to this as these guys are passing out. It's a small cup of juice and a small piece of bread. I want us to identify this when we take communion here. Identify it with and really identify with Jesus, right? Don't we live in the culture of identifying ourselves? Hello? Are you guys with me still?
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure I didn't lose everybody. As soon as we started, it's like, this is to hold you over because I'm keeping you a little extra longer. So you not just that, I'm just... As we identify with Jesus, listen to what's happening here as we take communion. Listen to what's actually happening here when we take communion. We are actually, listen to this, we are actually participating in the great exchange. You guys hear me? You're actually participating in the great exchange. He said, this is the bread that was broken, is my body that was broken for you. this drink that you drink is the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins for you. Our part is to just simply take Him. Take Him, and He takes all of us. That doesn't get better than that. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. It doesn't matter where, what you've done. The exchange still stands. I need a little piece of bread. I don't care if it. Brian, you get me one? He's getting one. Oh, you get me? Yeah, thank you. They're getting it. Let me read this. This is in Matthew 26, verse 26 through 28. And then we're going to participate with this great exchange. So let me read these words of life, these words, these powerful words. Everybody got a piece? But as these words are being read, spoken, the Holy Spirit didn't let me leave this alone. There's one other place that Jesus said that phrase. A time is coming and now is. He said that in accordance to our Bible. That was in John chapter 4. Then He went out and He healed a man. And the Pharisees didn't like it because He healed him on the Sabbath. And so He got into a conversation with some Pharisees. And Jesus then He made the same statement. He said, a time is coming and now is. When, this is what He said after this. I'm quoting this from memory, so if I get it a little bit off, but I'm going to say the words that matter most. He said, when the dead will hear the voice of God and they shall live. Wow. A time is coming and now is come. When we partake of His body and we partake of His blood, that the dead, that which is not a part of me any longer, is done away with. And life. Life is replaced and replaces death. It's a part of the exchange. It's so simple to me. It's so clear. And yet all we struggle with it because we just, what are we wanting to hold on to? Just exchange it in. Stephen traded in a non-running piece of crap car that he was done with. He owed more on it than it was worth. What are you holding on to? Trade it in. It doesn't get any better. The exchange is the best offer to you and to I. So let us take His body. Let me read it first and then we'll do it. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and He blessed it, and then He broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat, for this is My body. And He took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and He gave it to them, and then He said, each of you drink from it, for it this is My blood, which confirms the covenant between God and His people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. So take and eat and drink.